Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 290, stanzas 1, 4, 6, and 7. Praise ye the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks and bless his name. His loving kindness changes not from age to age the same. 1, 4, 6, and 7 of Psalter 290. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan and they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, and that he said unto Sarai his wife, Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife. And they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, and that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen, and he asses, and men servants, and maid servants, and she asses, and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou, She is my sister? So I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer Mrs. Arnold Dusen, who is weak in the nursing home. Also Mr. Tony Auerkirk, who had an accident this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, Thou who art great, Thou who art holy, and Thou whom we ought to worship as Thy creature created in Thy image, Thou sittest amongst Thy cherubims, Thou sittest upon thy throne of glory. All that thou sayest comest to pass here upon the world. That is unknown to us what is future, but the callings of thee who art the King, who art the Governor, who art God, before whom we all have to stand, to one day give an account, the callings that still come to us from Thee, they are still so many. So it is even in the midst of us, where one had an accident in the week that is gone by, and not only he, but where we have heard it also of an elder of our neighboring congregation, whereas we have heard it also of others here in this town, in the week that is gone by, and where even the life of a man has come to an end, as so very suddenly in one moment, Lord, there are callings that are from Thee, and they are to us. And each one that says to us that we have here no continuing city, that we ought to seek one to come, Lord, the callings do not affect us. Our hearts, they remain so hard, and we are without impression. And now it is Thy holy day. Lord, if we shall remain this way until that time that we also have to appear before Thee, and when we should be without God in this world, then how can we meet Thee? Lord, we look up unto Thee in this morning hour. Oh, could it please Thee to look upon us and to have mercy upon us as we are traveling to that great eternity, that Thou may impress upon our hearts and a saving impression of the reality of our state, and that we are without God, that we are without hope in this world. And when we are in the state in which we have been born, oh, we need to be born again. Lord, Thou alone can give to us that new birth, to us and to our children. We have tried to bring it also unto our youth in the day of yesterday, our great responsibility, that we have to give an account of every choice, even what lies within our hearts, to give an account of every blessing, to give an account of the knowledge, to give an account of the talents, of the skills, all to be answered for one day. Lord, how shall we answer one question, that great question of Thee, when Thou wilt say to us, where is My image in all that I have given unto you? Oh, where is the fear of My name? Where is the love for Me? Where is the service of Me? Lord, remember us. Oh, we cannot answer that question except we be cast away forever, so rightly and so justly that Thou wilt then judge us. Lord, and Thou wilt also hold us accountable for that message that we have heard our whole life concerning Thine only begotten Son, whom Thou hast sent into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. Lord, how can we stand before Thee when such an opportunity, when such a blessing has been preached unto us, week by week, when we may read it daily in Thy holy word, and when we have to say that we have no need, and that we would not admit, that we would not confess, that we were dead in trespasses and sins, and that we are not able give an account, and that we are not able to save ourselves, that we had no need for Thy Son, that in Him there was no form and there was no comeliness in our eyes. We have despised Him. Lord, remember us in mercy.
To whom else can we go? Lord, so it will remain in our life, even to the last breath. If thou dost not make it different, if thou dost not open to us our great need for him, if thou dost not open for us the sin and the iniquity in thought, in word, and in deed, if thou dost not show to us our accountability, if thou dost not give to us a new heart, a new desire, oh, it all must come from thee. Thou sayest, I am the Alpha, I am the beginning. And Lord, this is what we beseech of thee, even in this morning hour, that thou would begin with us and with our children and all our loved ones, that thou would come from thy own side, that thou would stretch forth, O Lord, thine arm, which is not short and that it cannot save, and that thou would open the windows of heaven, even in this dry and barren day, and pour us out an undeserved blessing, a spiritual blessing. Oh, that thy Spirit may come down, and that he may work irresistibly in us, Lord, and in our dear children, in whom we are not able to work, and we cannot give it either unto ourselves. Oh, Lord, wilt thou take reasons out of thyself, and wilt thou do it for thy great and thy holy name's sake, and which will be so honored and so glorified, if thou wouldst come and grant us true conversion, then man shall come into dust, and thou wilt be glorified in the highest. Lord, wilt thou look upon thy children? Thou knowest who that they are. Thou knowest where they are. Thou knowest the perplexities that may be in their soul. And thou knowest their down sittings. And thou knowest also their uprisings. Oh, that thou would also visit them in this thy holy day. Oh, that there may be the little ones who may in this day drink a little of the milk of thy word, that they may feel something of thy nearness which they cannot miss. Wilt thou look upon each one of them to bring back wandering sheep, to instruct the ignorant, chastise unto obedience in thy love. Lord, wilt thou look upon us also in all the natural needs? For they are all so many. We remember also her that is in the nursing home and that is in these days weak. Lord, could it please thee also to remember her? Thou knowest her heart and all that lies within. Oh, that thou would look on her in her body, that thou would look upon her and visit her in this thy holy day. And when the mind is for us difficult to reach, thou art able to give her a blessing directly into her soul. Oh, give a little taste, Lord, of thy grace, that she indeed may open wide her mouth, and that she may receive fulfillment from thee. Look upon all of our youth. Lord, when we may have been together, and when thou hast given a good day together, oh, we ask of thee also to bless that which has been brought before them. When we have heard of our great responsibility, when we have heard how that it is so possible that we almost come in and yet miss what we stand in need of. Oh, that their young hearts may be impressed in a saving way, and that thou would take them for thine own account and raise up in the midst of us a young people, a young fathers and mothers that may fear the name of the Lord in truth. Lord, wilt thou look upon us also in this day, and when we are together to hear and to bring thy word. Thou knowest all our circumstances. Thou knowest what we stand in need of to speak and also to listen. And there can be so much that comes in between. But we ask of thee, Lord, may thou take it all away. May thou come with thy spirit. Take away all that is from the flesh and from man. And wilt thou give a word from heaven that may sink into this or into that heart in this morning hour. And that truly eternity may tell. And that thou wast indeed in the midst of us. Forgive and keep us from all iniquity. For Jesus' sake. Amen.
Psalter 294, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Men who walk in folly's way and to evil turn aside, find that sorrow will repay those who wisdom's laws defied. Down to death's dark portals led, they abhorred their daily bread. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 294.
Thank you.
Congregation, Paul has written to the Romans, the truth of God hath more abounded through his lie unto God's glory. That is, that the faithfulness of the Lord that is greater glorified, seeing the great unfaithfulness of that church of God. That is a truth that the wicked do abuse. Then they say, let us do evil, that good may come. The more that we may do evil, the greater then that the glory of God in the salvation of our souls will be glorified. Whose damnation, Paul says, is just. And yet, this is now the greatest wonder in the life of that true church of God. Why? Because God is glorified in a great contrast. That is now the mystery of free and sovereign grace. No, God is not glorified by sin, but God is glorified by the manifestation of who it is that he is looking down upon in mercy. And who is that? Paul says, it is sinners of whom I am the chief. This revelation is now to the great glory of God. John the Baptist, he said, I must decrease, he must increase. These two things go together for the glory of the Lord. And it is for that reason that also the sin of the true church is not hidden from us in the Holy Scriptures. The Lord does not hide it. Why? In order that he may glorify himself. And that people did not hide it when they have written it down themselves, or when they have said it, as Abram from father to son to grandson, until it may even come unto Moses himself and may be recorded for the world to the last day to read. Why? Not to glory in that sin. No, because that sin is an evil. That sin is a great shame. But to show how great is that mercy and grace of that God whom Abraham may serve, that it may be an encouragement to publicans and sinners. May that be so also in this morning hour, when we wish to consider these few words of our text that you can find in Genesis 12, in the 13th verse, the first part. Genesis 12, verse 13, the first part. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister. So far the words of our text. Abram's request of Sarai, his wife. First, out of what it proceeds. Second, in what it consists. And third, from what deliverance is made necessary. Abram's request of Sarai, his wife, out of what it proceeds. Second, in what it consists. Third, from what deliverance is made necessary. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister. Out of what congregation does this proceed? That proceeds out of unbelief. How can that be? Unbelief? Who is this of whom we hear it is written? That is Abraham. That is the father of the faithful. Can that be? Yes. That is here the reality. That is written also in many other places of the Holy Scriptures. Unbelief. What is that? We hear that often, that word, in our day. Our young people also hear that word, unbelief. That unbelief that is such a great sin. Yes, what is unbelief? What is the sin of unbelief? That is a subject of very much confusion. There is both a state of unbelief and the condition of unbelief. And these two things, the state of unbelief and the condition of unbelief, these coincide with the existence of faith and the exercise of faith. Thus, we begin first with the state of unbelief. What does that mean to be in a state of unbelief? That is now the state that you and I are born in by nature. That is that state that we are in when we are without God in this world. This is that state we are in when faith has never been planted in our heart, in its being, in its existed, in its existence. Thus, we are unconverted, that faith that does not exist in us at all. And because that faith does not exist at all, then it is impossible to believe. Because it cannot be exercised when it does not exist. In order to be clear, then we also must speak about the object of faith. Because faith, when we believe something, then we always believe something. So we must ask, what is that thing? What is that object that faith is going out unto? Then we must say that when a person is in that state of unbelief, then it is not as if that person does not believe anything at all. No, we all believe. We all believe something. But what do we believe? We believe the lie. We believe error. But we do not believe the truth. You say, I believe the truth. I believe this is the Word of God. I believe God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Yes, we may believe this in a historical way, but we do not believe this in a saving way unto our own soul. Thus, our soul, when we are in the state of unbelief, cannot receive, Paul says, cannot receive spiritual things. Yes,
We still believe things, but we believe Satan. We believe the lie. We believe man. But we do not believe God. We do not believe what God has revealed in His holy word. That is why we can sleep in the night. Because we do not believe it. Because we do not believe, we do not have a saving impression in our soul that He is alive, that we are going to meet Him, that we need to give an account of thought, word, and deed in our life. We do not believe this because the summons of death that has not yet come unto our heart. Thus, we exist in that state of unbelief. And it is now when the Lord is beginning by His Holy Spirit that the Lord is delivering a man from this state of unbelief. That He brings him into a state of faith, or He brings him into a state of, we say, grace. We say, boys and girls, that the Lord, He gives a new heart. And that new heart is now able to receive the things which are spiritual. It receives new ears in this house of God, then it becomes so different in the life of such a person. Why? Because then his eyes are opened. Then he sees what his state and condition is by nature. Then he sees, I am without hope. I am without God in this world. Then he sees that all in this world is vanity, all in this world is carnality, it is all passing away. Then he lives day by day with a saving impression of this, that it is so real, that I am living in that city of destruction. Then he is doing just as Abraham. When Abraham is called out of Ur and out of Haran, then he is departing. He is leaving that city of destruction. That is now the state of grace, the state of faith. And yet, unbelief, that is not unknown, even in this state of grace. How is that possible? Do they then fall from grace? That is impossible. The gifts and the calling of God, they are without repentance. We cannot fall from that state of grace. And yet it is possible when we are in that state of grace that we come into what we call a condition of unbelief. That means regarding a certain thing, regarding a certain object, in a certain circumstance, in a certain position in our life, then we are not able to exercise that faith that has been planted within our heart. We say that we lack the activity of this faith. Congregation, that is such an important distinction that we all need, also young people, that we need also with our minds to contemplate. We need to understand what this distinction is between the state of unbelief and the condition of unbelief. Why is that such an important distinction?
while it's so important for instruction within the visible church, that we are not confusing these two things as if these two things are one and the same. The exercise of faith, of true faith in a certain circumstance, in a certain situation in our life. The exercise of faith in that circumstance does not belong to the unconverted. Does not belong to a man, to a woman, to a boy, to a girl who never had grace through saving faith even implanted within their heart. That is so necessary to understand. Why? Because how many do not claim to exercise faith without having any knowledge of the implanting of faith in their life? Then there can be no true trusting of God without that inward existence of faith. What does Paul say? He says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That is, yesterday, young people, we mentioned conditional promises in the Word of God and unconditional promises. Here is now a conditional promise in the Word of God. Whosoever shall call, that is the condition, on the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Now what does Paul say? How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? But we all call on the name of the Lord, do we not? We all fold our hands and we all close our eyes when we pray and we call upon the name of the Lord. No, Paul says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they call when that true saving faith was never even planted within their heart? Then they cannot call unto salvation. No, then they cannot fulfill the condition of that conditional promise so as now they may have a right to that which was promised. No, then there is no demanding from the side of man. Paul says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, must believe that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Thus, so important that we do not confuse this state of unbelief and the condition of unbelief. That is also for God's children. That is also for that true church. Why? Because they often must experience that they lack the exercise of faith. But how often, when they lack exercise of faith, do they not then begin to question the essence of faith? That they ask, has faith ever been planted even in my soul? And was the beginning ever right with me, since I am not able to put my trust in him? But because faith is lacking in its exercise, that is not proof that faith is lacking in its essence. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister. Oh, it's not only the essence of faith that is a gift of God, but also the exercise of faith is a gift of God. How is this not learned over and over in the life of this people? Then it is not lying here in the power of Abraham. And it is not lying in the power of the people, but that exercise of faith that needs to be given over and over again from above in every circumstance that they must come into, that they are learning and experience that key to that prison of unbelief that is not on their side of that prison door, but that is on the other side. And that it is only the Lord Himself that is able to give that faith and exercise. Therefore, that father of that lunatic man, he says, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister. It was not so long ago that Abraham, he is called forth out of Ur and Haran. And not only called forth by the Lord, but that Abraham may go out after the Lord, that he may leave that place, going forth not knowing where that he is going, but with that blessed faith in exercise. It is not so long ago that the Lord has appeared unto Abram, that the Lord said unto Abram, unto thy seed I will give this land, and that Abram may believe it, that Abram must believe it, that Abram builds an altar unto the Lord. It is not so long ago. And now, already, so soon after, say, I pray thee, thou art my sister. And Abram cannot do it with the faith of yesterday, when he stood so strong in it, but he needs that faith to be given again today. And then we see how the Lord is trying that faith in the life of his people, so that that people may know what they are in themselves dependent. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister. Why? That it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. My soul shall live. Of what is Abram afraid? What is he afraid of, boys and girls? He's afraid to die. Are you ever afraid to die? Abram is afraid to die. Say, that is one of God's people. He does not need to be afraid to die. Oh, then we see how that everything needs to be learned step by step in the life of the people. Then Abram may exercise faith in following the command of the Lord in coming out. But because that people are drawn out of that city of destruction, that does not mean that they are immediately at that place where they say that he is mine and I am his, and that I am now able to stand before him in judgment. No, it is step by step. And that people need to receive instruction in that way of faith. We go to our second thought. in what the request of Abram consists. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister. Why? Because of her beauty. Even though now she is 65 years old. But what do we read? And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said to Sarai his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Outward beauty. What a snare. And is this outward beauty so often in the lives of men? Why? Because of the sinful lust of mankind. Why are we then so concerned, congregation? Why would we then be so concerned about our outward beauty? When our outward beauty, that is the cause of evil lust, that is the cause of so much sin, when it has broken so many marriages, when it has brought so much misery and distress in the life of such children. No, let us not be so concerned about outward beauty. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister. Why? Because of the fear of man. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife. And they shall kill me, but they will save thee alive. What a snare. So often is that fear of man. It was a snare to Peter. It was a snare here to Abram. Thus, when that faith is not in exercise, then that people cannot see over, they cannot see past that temporal circumstance that they are in. They cannot see how the God, He is so much higher and so much more powerful than all the circumstances may show to be in our life. The spiritual things, they are losing their reality in the feeling of the soul of the people. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister. Why? Because of acquaintance with the world. Abram is now living in the midst of an evil world. And what great temptations we bring ourselves into when we bring ourselves with our evil hearts, bring ourselves in the midst of this world. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister. What is it? It is carnal policy. It is self-help. It proceeds out of an old man, and in that old man there is nothing good. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister. What is that? That is half of the truth. As if Abram may now make his lie palatable because he does actually tell half of the truth. Try to combine the lie a little bit with that which is true. Does that mean that we must always say everything that is in our mind, that is in our heart? No. Not everyone in this world has a right to all information. There is some information that is simply personal that we do not share with other people, but those who are so very close to us. There are some things, boys and girls, that your father and mother do not share with you. That's because they are wise. And that information does not belong to you when you are young. There is a consistory. They have much information that they are not allowed to share with anyone. There are also the wicked in this world, and the wicked in this world do not have a right to know everything. The Lord Himself spoke to Samuel. He said, "Go anoint David to be king." Samuel says, "Saul, when he hears it, he will kill me." The Lord said to Samuel, "You say that you are going to do sacrifice." The Lord had a right, and the Lord gave Samuel a right to withhold information that did not belong unto him. The fool, Solomon says, he utters all his mind. Sometimes it is better that we do not say everything. Sometimes, for the sake of peace, love, we read, that covers a multitude of sins. That is, when I know this and this and this and this about this and this and this person, that I am not saying that to other people because I love them. We may say it to them, that is right, but not unto others, that we spread it abroad, love, that covers a multitude of sins. No, then we do not say everything. But yet here it is different. Why is it different here? It is different because sometimes the withholding of part of the truth is sinful. When we are in court, then it is necessary that we are swearing that we are going to tell the truth, but not only the truth, that we are going to tell the whole truth. Why is that so necessary? Is that necessary for the judge to know all the truth? In order that he may give a right judgment within that court before the living God. In our daily dealings with men in this world, there are some times and there is some information that we have no right to withhold from our neighbor. What kind of information is that? That is information that may be a prevention for him from walking in the ways of sin. And so it is here. Love and concern in the heart of Abram for his neighbor ought to have impelled Abram to speak the whole truth unto Pharaoh to make him honest. Pharaoh had a right to know this information as the creature of God. And Abram had a duty not to say half of it, but to say the whole thing. Abram intended, with saying this half-truth, to deceive Pharaoh out of unbelief, out of distrust unto the Lord. And out of lack of concern for Pharaoh. And not only so, but he tempted his own wife to join with him in his sin. He exposed his dear wife to be dealt with as an harlot and to commit adultery. Sarah was commended for calling Abram Lord. You do that to wives. Your children hear that. But here, Sarah should never have listened to him. She had no duty to obey Abram when he requests such a thing. No, Sarai herself now becomes an accomplice in that lie of Abraham, in that unbelief of Abram, in the carnal policy
of Abram, in the sin of Abram. Here, Sarai, she has an opportunity to be an help to her husband and to say, Abram, I may not do it. The Lord knows. We must ask Him to protect us, but carnal policy. That is working in that time when unbelief, when faith is not in exercise. And then how often does it not bring those people into a circumstance that they are not able to deliver themselves from? Let us sing first Psalter 342. 342 stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Oh, let my supplicating cry by thee, my gracious Lord, be heard. Give wisdom and deliver me according to thy faithful word. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 342. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair.
The princes also of Pharaoh saw her, and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. That was to be expected by Abram. That was to be expected by Sarai. She's taken into the house of women, even as Esther was. And then Sarai is being prepared to be married unto Pharaoh. Abram cannot deliver himself. Why not? Does he have no tongue? Is he not able to speak? Was Sarai taken from him by force? No, Abram cannot deliver himself because his predicament that is becoming deeper and deeper. Do you know what that is, young people? For your predicament to become deeper and deeper. Sin, that is a very slippery slope. And also for God's children, faith that is not strengthened by walking after the ways of their own inventions. No, it is the opposite. And that faith is weakened. And then it is not only the initial fear of man, but it is not very easy for Abram to back out of these circumstances. Confession, that is not a fruit of our own field. When he would now tell the reason, say, I have lied to you, Pharaoh. Why? Because I don't trust you. And I don't trust your servants. And you are wicked people. That is not easy. Abram also fared very well by his carnal policy. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. And what does the Lord say? A gift that blinds the eyes. Oh, it is not a strange thing for God's people to bring themselves into circumstances which they are not able to deliver themselves out of. Where was the first time? Was that not in paradise? Or was that a circumstance now that Adam was able to deliver himself out of? David's men, they spoke about stoning him. He also could not deliver himself. So it is with Abram. What does he do now? What do we read? And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. Is that not a wonder? What happens? The Lord intervenes. The Lord, he comes to the deliverance of his child, of Abram. And if the Lord did not come to the deliverance of his people, then that people would ruin themselves. No, the Lord knows how to take care of his child. The Lord makes a way in the life of his people. And he makes a way in the life of his people when they have brought themselves into circumstances out of which they are not able to deliver themselves. And when the Holy Spirit is giving that instruction in the life of the people, where he may show them who and what they are, and where there may be only one way for the people, and that is that the Lord rightly must cast me away forever and forever. And when there is nothing from my side that I can do anymore, there the Lord is opening a way. Then it comes not from the side of man, no, but then it comes from the side of the Lord. And there the Lord is opening that way that he has made in his dear son. There the Lord is revealing a mediator for those who are not able to come back to God anymore, who have sinned themselves on the outside. And then it is a people who lie with no rights, only worthy that the Lord would never hear them. It is a people sometimes hardly knowing how that they even can dare to go upon their knees because of their own sin that has brought them into these circumstances. And then that people may experience that the Lord comes to deliver them. And what is the Lord doing? Then the Lord is taking it up for the people. Then the Lord is fighting against all of the enemies of the people, against whom that people have no power to come against. So he did on the tree when he bruised the head of that serpent, in whose power that people had come, and they could not deliver themselves from his power. But he came to deliver them out of his hand. And so that is also by the Holy Spirit within, to raise that people from the dead, to deliver them out of that dominion of sin, and then time and time again, to deliver them out of the consequences of that wretched unbelief which they are continually bringing themselves into in this life. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way." Most likely there was something in those plagues, some kind of a relation with those plagues, that Pharaoh and his servants understood what the cause was of these plagues. That is a blessing. When the Lord is showing us why that he is coming against us, that the Lord is showing because it is our own sin that his displeasure is lying upon us. And by those chastisements that the Lord is directing us and bringing us in that right way again, as that shepherd to go after those wandering sheep and bring them back again into the fold. People of the Lord, what a blot on the name of the Lord. What a blot on his church. What a blot on the faith of that true church of God is the sin of the church.
Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister. Or can we blame Pharaoh? When Pharaoh will be prejudiced against that true religion. What a great shame. Then the responsibility that will lie on the shoulders of Abram. Is that not a great shame when the church has to be rebuked by the world? When it seems that there is more honor and there is more conscience in the world than there is even in the heart of that true church. David murdered Uriah for his wife. But this heathen king did not do so. There is not one of that true church and that is in this life, in this world, free from sin, unbelief, found in the Father of the faithful. Foolishness found in the wisest man. Adultery and murder found in that man after God's own heart. The strongest man, God's child falling by a weak woman, perfect purity. Where will that be found? Perfect purity that is going to be found in a place where sin shall enter no more. Here below, that sheep of his fold, they retain their wayward character. And they are in such great dependence upon that shepherd to draw them back again. But now what a comfort for a true church. Because their life is not in their own hands. If their life, that life of grace, was now in their own hands, it would be hopeless. But it is not so. No, the Lord will keep them. When they cannot, they will not keep themselves. Then that church, by His grace, they are going to persevere to the very, very end. And He is going to receive all the honor and all the glory. He will increase and they will decrease. Is that not a blessed people congregation? Who are cared for despite all their wickedness, despite all their wandering. It is not a church without sin. No, do not look for that. Do not expect that. Because you look then, you expect then the wrong thing. What is it? It is a church that is saved as sinners. They are not without sin. No, they are forgiven. They are mercifully rescued from those consequences of their own sin. And that is now how the Lord is glorifying Himself. Or that we may know also something of the beginning of what Abram must have felt when the Lord delivered him out of these circumstances. Then where must Abram go? Abram must go in the dust. Oh, Abram, he had to come so guilty, and he had so much to acknowledge the Lord for. That is now the beginning of that song. They may just begin to sing it here below.
And the end of it will be never. It will be to all eternity. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, there is but one way. That is that thou wilt save us. O Lord, come thou. Be thou the first one. Deliver thy people out of that condition of unbelief. It is a wretched condition. It is a God-dishonoring condition. Lord, deliver them from it, that their heart may be stayed upon thee at all times, each day and each moment, that they may be as a candle upon a candlestick, as a city upon an hill. Wilt thou forgive our many sins, bring us safely to our homes, and to gather again in this afternoon hour. Bless thy word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 284, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O come, my soul, bless thou the Lord thy Maker, and all within me bless his holy name. Bless thou the Lord, forget not all his mercies, his pardoning grace and saving love proclaim. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 284.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.